Join us in the flag salute. We'll get the meeting started. Good evening and welcome to the August.
And there was no reportable action on any of those matters.
Okay, we're going to start out with general public comment tonight. This is our general meeting. And also, I guess this month, our next scheduled meeting is August 30th, and we're going to suspend, would that be the right term, this meeting until that one, and then that way we'll be having two regular meetings this month, and we'll have general public comment at the end of the month as well. So rather than have a second special meeting this month, which doesn't have public comment, we're going to suspend this one until the 30th so that we can have another round of public comment at that point. And with that, we'll lead off with general public comment tonight.
Good evening. I'm Sylvia Neller. I live in Cuesta by the Sea. Portentous is a new word to me, and as I understand it, it means to lengthen, to draw out a little. Los Osos, a diamond in the rough, our jewel of the Central Coast, is home to portentous promise and possibility in dance with hope for improved practical knowledge acquired from authoritative messengers come to point us to the correct data. We gather together as a means of extending this hope for knowledge to those who are receptive to change and improvements, to those who are intelligent enough to recognize and let go of misinformation, to those who honor our connectedness to each other, and to those who have an interest in achieving high goals of fresh, clean local water in abundance and toilets flushed with state blessings. Moments of time spent visualizing the relief to come from intense worry, the satisfaction of accomplishment and sense of camaraderie, which comes only to those who have battled each other and conquered themselves. These moments of daydreams for tomorrow will actualize themselves as reality today when we begin to think and live future desires in the present. Our sparkle of good vibration lights the path to accomplishment. These things are within our reach by remembering that our individual goodness is with us always, and it is our privilege to remind each other of this daily. The awkwardness of change eases as we continue to practice our dance of creation. When the big day comes to celebrate elevated achievements, amidst the toast of goodwill and fortitude and eulogy to eternal sleep of contentious animosity, there will be dancing in the streets to the song of Los Osos. I hope you dance with me.
Thank you.
Good evening, President Sisena, members of the board. My name is Engineers for Engineering Design of the System. It includes a nationally known builder, Delisle Group, and it includes Orenco, prime vendors of Steg equipment. Bill Cagle is here representing that firm. And it includes General Electric Capital, which stands ready to provide financing for the entire project. The Ripley team is ready, willing, and able to deliver the complete plan update project on a design-build basis with private financing. And based on recent studies of over 1,000 projects, this approach, design-build, can save a significant percentage on cost and cut implementation time considerably compared to design bid build. We believe that the plan update you are familiar with is your best value. It is environmentally sustainable, it has the lowest energy use, and hence the lowest carbon footprint. It conserves water and nutrients for beneficial reuse, and it is much less expensive than any other alternative that has been proposed to date. We will tell you what our guaranteed maximum cost will be without leaving anything out. All we ask is to be given the opportunity to propose on an open request for qualifications and request for proposals issued either by yourself, CSD, or by the county. Thank you very much for your attention.
Additional public comment tonight.
Good evening. Cynthia Coleman, homeowner, Baywood Park. My puppy sitter bailed on me, and I just got an $87 ticket because I was taking my seatbelt off trying to grab her. I'm going to contest it. The second part of my public comment is two short video clips from last year, which I think will be interesting. And the first part is I'd like to beg everybody to tell the truth. No one has a good enough memory to be a good liar. And don't kid yourself. So let's tell the truth. And I'd also like to know who it is who thinks that I don't deserve to live in my home, that they deserve to have my home, that I should leave, that I'm not worthy of living here somehow. I don't have enough money, I don't know who these elitists are, but I'd like to know who they are because they're my enemies, okay? If you're trying to hurt me, you're trying to do something bad to me, you're not my friend. So this is all out. I'm on the warpath against these people, whoever they are, and I hope and pray that they will become known to us. So thank you to Dave Dugan for his assistance and to Bob Lloyd.
$2 million seems like a lot of money, but it's not in the effort that we're going to do here. We need to be clear on what our scope of work here is. We're not going to develop new technologies and try to convince other agencies that those new technologies are acceptable. We're going to develop the concept for this project as if we're going to be the ones that operate it forever. We know that if it's built, we'll operate it for at least 3 years under the terms of the legislation. And after that, it remains to be seen. So this is our system that happens to be in Los Osos, and so we're going to approach it accordingly. In the strategic plan that was presented to your board on June 19th, it said very clearly that our approach is not going to include considering anything other than gravity collection systems. We'll be very open-minded about location, final treatment technologies, but what we're going to do is attempt to implement all the available information that's out there already. We're not going to create new information. We're not going to create new design concepts. We're going to look at the design that was in Tri-W. We're going to look at the design that was in the Metcalf and Eddy project that we had back in the late 90s. We're going to look at the Ripley report and see what we can glean out of that as far as transmitting it to a different type of a project location. But we are not intending to consider such as step stag. We're looking only at gravity collection. We don't have time to do, we do not have time.
Good night. Any additional public comment tonight?
More questions.
What I heard, questions about 218, how does it work? How do you get it, go about preparing for 218? Seeing clarification on the indemnification issues, how can we be saying that we want to be have sole responsibility but we don't want the CSD's liabilities, and then clarifying the process in terms of next steps?
And how the information how the information will be disseminated prior to the 218 vote. I mean, that came through loud and clear. People need to know what they're voting on. You can't ask them for an open end.
Okay, if the room will come back to order, we'll continue with public comment. And I'm asking everyone to please tone it down, and we'll respect the speakers that are up here to bring us public comment. Thank you, Dr. Fullwood.
My name is Dr. Fullwood, and I take a bit of offense to that, to the video, only because that wasn't Paavo Ogren, and he is working hard for us. And I just had a meeting with Surfrider, Slow Green Build, and the county project team. One thing Paavo said in the meeting is how excited he is that Dana Ripley is here with his project team and seriously coming to the table with, to the county involvement. I am telling you directly what happened at the meeting. I'm not making things up. He also stressed that the county goal is for an environmentally preferred project if it's cost competitive. There we go. I take offense to people laughing at what happened a year ago, and it's not what's happening right now. And I would love it if the people who are here from the Ripley and Orenco project team wanted to introduce themselves. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Time is probably still running.
A man named Carl Hadler from Carollo. After the meeting was over, it was a 2.5-hour meeting, and after it was over, he came up to me and said how much he's appreciated and Paavo's appreciated the Surfrider Keys statement, Key Environmental Information statement. He said it's really helping guide the project, and he was very excited about our involvement.
Good.
Good evening, George. Is that on? George Taylor, a 35-year resident of Los Osos. I would like to read a letter from the Sun Bulletin yesterday by J.E. Curtis. No vote is a slam dunk. Last Wednesday's article on the sewer ballot is a slam dunk. No vote for us, without a doubt. Several reasons come to mind, primarily a yes vote is a blank check. We would, in effect, be voting for an unknown system, type of location and treatment plant, timetable, and, of course, cost. This is not a well-heeled part of the country, in county. In fact, we pay, on average, more than in taxes, yet receive less in service. The numbers are staggering, but for every dollar in taxes paid, the Los Osos area receives maybe 10 to 15 cents in services. Don't believe me. Look at your roads. One would think these property taxes paid out would provide services, including the sewer system payments. This is an unfunded mandate that can't be upheld. I asked.
Good evening. My name is Al Beryl, and I live in Los Osos. And I just want to say hello. Have you heard that there is? This is a prepared statement before I knew that the Orenco team was coming. I heard that there is an alternative sewer design by Orenco and the Ripley team. I think you've all heard that now. Here's the web address of the Design Build Institute of America, which is a very good primer for flexibility of the design build method of delivering a project. As you may know, Orenco and the Ripley team have a California contractor to lead their team, and you should also know that 50% of all public projects are privately financed. We will be able to better evaluate this option if you will block out some time, say half an hour, to familiarize yourself with this concept, which will help conserve the committee's time in discussion of design build. I sent this letter to the Wastewater Committee. Thank you for your attention to this very interesting process, which will give us a definitive project cost. You just heard one of the leaders say that you would have a fixed cost. Please, no blank checks. Repeat, no blank checks or lean on your home. They have a cost spread now of $40 to $85 million, depending on the RFP deliverable language. RFP means request for proposal, a document that orders people to start the process. I do hope we will consider several offers of an RFP for the project in case the 218 is rejected by property owners. Both Rob Miller and citizen and Orenco's Mike Saunders have offered to help. And I just recently learned that their contractor will be presenting some RFPs to the county, which will be public documents. Finally, the ponds and the step have a physical installation time of 9 months to a year. Other factors could make it longer, but for a construction standpoint, that is a quick compliance. I am also doing some research on zero carbon footprints for solar energy with wastewater project. Everybody should know not to vote on a blank check and defeat the 218 assessment vote, as the county has committed to $150 to $200 million sewer. So just vote to say no. The Ripley team says they will be pleased to respond to this RFP. Thank you very much.
Good evening, President and Board. Gail McPherson. I'm with Citizens for Clean Water, the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund. And I wanted to announce that we are going to be having a question and answer session on Tuesday, August 7th. Paavo Ogren will be answering questions concerning the 218 assessment vote. And there are some handouts on the table. And we'll be emailing this around as well. We also are having a Support Your Neighbors fundraiser. It's a barbecue, and it's going to be August 19th. The dinners are takeout, $10, and this is to support the legal action to stop enforcement against individuals. It's very important to vote yes. So I encourage people to learn more about the process, learn more about the vote and what it takes, and then put together what your criteria is for a yes vote. I also fear that people won't be able to freely vote and may not return the ballots because they're afraid that people will know how they voted and take action against them. All of these things are a huge concern, and it's going to be very important as we move forward to be able to make an informed vote. And I do encourage people to come on the 7th. Is it Sea Pines? 7 o'clock, August 7th, and it'll be Paavo answering questions. And there is a list of questions the community has already started to compile, and I'll be compiling more. And, again, thank you very much for your time.
One question.
Yes.
Where do I get my chicken dinner?
Your chicken dinner will be at South Bay Community Center. We have tickets on sale. People in the community are selling tickets in advance. They're $10. It's chicken, barbecue chicken with all the trimmings, and it's a takeout. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I'm here especially tonight to say vote no on a 218, especially if it concerns gravity collection of raw sewage or MBR technology or the Tri-W site. If we vote yes on any of those three items, the state will get the chance to take their $6.5 million away from us that they gambled when we took the checkbook away from the three members that were recalled. If someone says vote yes and we'll fight it later, ask them who's going to pay the attorney's fees and the legal fees. We had a chance. We had a 218, no 218 lawsuit with a restraining order requested before that loan was ever funded, and we couldn't get anybody to help with the legal fees then, and we won't get anybody to help with the legal fees if you vote yes on a thing that'll allow the county to put what they want in, which is obviously Tri-W, gravity collection, MBR, and so don't vote yes if any of those are on the ballot. This is an assessment forming district vote, the same as the vote that was for the bond issue, and it had a cap on it of something like $23 million. I may be off by a million or so, but million here, million there, pretty soon you're talking about serious money. Anyway, the fact is that there was a cap on that. They sold $19.6 million worth of bonds, which Bruce Buell and the previous board of directors on the CSD wasted. $9 million of it went to Montgomery Watson. When we got the checkbook back, there was $2 million missing. We don't know. I guess that went to the contractors. Our credit rating is based on our property values, which any loan of any kind is based on a percentage of loan-to-value ratio. And we have enough property value here to afford a 300...
Carte blanche to do whatever they want. I am delighted that Orenco is here. Orenco is very serious. Ripley is very serious about participating in the process of offering an alternative. I am afraid that if we vote yes on 218 and the count, we give up all our power. That's our last chip. That's our last serious chip, our last power. The county says they may look at Orenco, they may look at other options, but there's no guarantee at all. We've given up all our power to do that. It's incumbent upon the board to somehow come up with a process so that Orenco is in the mix before the 218. We have to have a real affordable choice. Right, I've done this least unaffordable, most unaffordable. It's all unaffordable. Unaffordable means 5,000 people leave their homes. That's not acceptable. You guys are our voice. You need to get Orenco and Ripley into the process. If it comes after 218, I'm afraid they will not be in the process because there's no reason why the county will do that. County may well have an agenda different from ours. We have the common good. They may have other overdevelopment, construction, other thoughts besides what's good for us. So why would they consider Orenco when that's good for us but bad for them? Okay, what's good for us now, we have the opportunity before the 218. So we need to get the Orenco in there, which means from my side, Chuck, as president, I need to call on you to somehow figure out how to bring Orenco into the process prior to the 218 so they're seriously considered. Right? I appreciate what Gail's saying about you can't vote yes, you lose your house. You can't vote no, you lose your house. The way it's set up, we're in a bind, we're in a dilemma. The only way out is to have a real option that's acceptable to the community, $50, $60 million, something that's affordable before the 218. If that doesn't happen, I don't want to have to bring out my sign, no on 218, no blank check. I don't want to go there yet. But if it's a yes or no, at least with a no, I have a fighting chance. With a yes, I've given up all my power. So don't make me make that choice. Don't make the community make that choice. Get Orenco into the process prior to the 218, and you guys are our conduit to that. Thank you.
Along Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I don't feel that the CSD is currently organized in a way that should a 218 fail, the outcomes would be very good. And The county has actually come a very long way, mostly due to input from these citizens present here in this room and otherwise. That's why the county's changed their position. It's pretty clear that Tri-W, it's got very low oxygenation right now. It's pretty cyanotic. It's not a choice the county wants, but I still can't see how you guys can take over as Plan B if a 218 fails. That's just knowing you as great people, but you're just not organized. You're not. The finances are pretty bad. Your role to help the citizens of this town is to continue to educate the county the way the county's been educated by the citizens. And the education to the county, for example, is for the county to understand that this was their opportunity to withdraw the CDOs on 46 people. They've created an unbalanced legal situation. I mean, it's obvious, I think. I mean, I've watched a lot of TV, and there's lots of lawyer shows on, so that must be right. The water board, as far as you guys are concerned, is kind of like a scorpion that can only strike 46 times before its poison runs out. So you must really use your experience, be strong with the county, help the county, guide them towards Ripley. They're actually starting to get flexible. There's a real change, and I can tell you where another $6 million are. The governator can probably get Steve Austin to sell off some spare parts, because there's $6 million in fines that, in a very realistic sense, with the estuary being out there, with the governor wanting to save the estuary, it's got to be done through saving Los Osos. Thank you.
Boy, you are a traitor.
We don't need those kind of comments from the back of the audience, please. Respect each other at the microphone, or you'll be asked to leave.
Good evening, Lindy Owen from the Prohibition Zone. I think the elephant in the room is definitely the $6.5 million loan. I think the regional board is acting completely inappropriately as an agency who is after clean water and here to help a community resolve the problems. The delays do not, they're part of a democratic process, and the reasons are many, and many people like to go back and go, we could have had a cheaper sewer back in the 70s. Well, we're here today, and I think what the county's being driven by is to be able to not make that $6.5 million discussion go anywhere but on our sewer bills. And in my eyes, that was complete irresponsibility from an agency that has responsibility. Before they loan out money, they make sure that they've got a solid, arranged, and workable project, and they knew that this project had problems. And in spite of Julie Tacker and Lisa Schicker going up and begging them to give us the extra few weeks to have our election and see what that determination was, they went ahead and released money. And I think they're in the courts. I think that we'll find out who failed to be responsible with state monies and actual federal monies. But now we have a county, and this process looks like it was just set up to make sure that that $6.5 million got wrapped right in with, you know, being a points on a loan type situation. And whether it's changing or not, I don't sense that it's changing. That's what discourages me, is I look at TAC and then I hear what PAVA's reports are, and I don't feel that they're... The right thing would have been to choose two different projects. Now they're talking about four projects. The situation is that with four projects, it just confuses things. We're really down to two basic issues. We either do a gravity sewer or we do a step collection sewer. And if we can't, the 218 is probably going to fail at the rate it's going. And I think it will come because people do not know what they're getting to vote on. We have asked them to
Additional public comment tonight. Step up, please. Thank you.
Hello, Susan Shaw. I had to rush down here. And I'm so glad Orenco and Ripley are here. And I'm so glad this board is here. This board, I have so many heroes in my community. I have Steve Sawyer, who put forth the recall, which we've all seemed to have forgot about him. And then we have our wonderful board that came into power when we had the recall to take away the project that was in the center of our town that was going to cost so much more, millions of dollars more than we ever dreamed of. And it transformed into this thing that it transformed into this thing that we didn't realize. But anyway, this new board brought in real capable, sustainable project options to us with Orenco and Ripley. And it answered all our questions. It answered so many questions that we had. Affordability, sustainability. And it seems like with the TAC, that is all being shut down. It seems like we're not even getting a say in that. We're not getting that viewed. It seems like that's all being shut off for us. It's very sad. And my heroes, Lisa, wherever she is, she's probably suffering from serving on this board. I love you, Lisa. And all those other people. And Ripley and Orenco, if we went there with the design build, private financing, directional boring, we would save so much money. Plus, we wouldn't have to trench all our streets. We wouldn't have to run into all the archaeological digs and, you know, hurt the Chumash, which they have their rights. And I just think, also, don't be afraid, please. This fear thing put on us by the water board, if you don't vote this way, I mean, that's not democracy to say that if you don't vote a certain way, and I'm afraid to vote yes, because then, okay, I'm afraid to vote no, because I may be get all these fines. Well, what is that? That's not a democracy. You have to realize that you have to vote how your conscience tells you. Can you afford this?
Susan. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate everything you said.
What percentage, at what age, how much does that person have to work before they're eligible for retirement? Is 5 years, 10 years? Also, is there any relocation reimbursements, benefits such as cars, any allowance for homes, and any other benefit that I didn't mention above? I'd like a little bit more detail, then I would be able to review the information. The second issue I have, thank you for posting that up on the board there. Golden State has amended its water rate into a conservation rate, which was ordered by the PUC. They were ordered to amend their rate for consideration by April 23rd, 07. And this is a much better rate for people like myself, who were, the rate initially was going to be for a residential 5/8, the top line where it says 1166 for residential. Originally, was they requested 28 something. So each month, so that's a difference. Also, they have the tier with $2.39.4, and then it's $2.75 for anything over 10 CCFs. Of course, I'm going to write to the PUC. I think there should be a third tier in there. I think the first tier, there's not a big difference between the first tier and the second tier. It's only like 36 cents after you pay the initial $11.66. I think this rate is much improved over their previous rates. But I wanted to bring this forward to the community because the community wasn't aware of this issue. And I do thank Golden State still being so responsive to get me a copy of this information, the application. So they should have it on file, either on their website, and I don't know what it is, or you can call down Golden State for people who are interested in writing to the PUC. And I did give a copy to the Water Ops Chair, Keith. Thank you.
Director Sparks.
Mr. Asolio, the contract for Mr. Weineke was public for that meeting, so I believe he could request that from the staff, and that would be indicative of the package offered to the general manager.
Okay, I just don't remember that being discussed, those issues. I remember the salary was the only issue I heard when I came to the meeting. I didn't see a packet, so I'll be looking for that next time. But thank you, Mr. Sparks.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. I'm here to take issue with Director Tacker's closing comments at the last CSD meeting. You started out your comment by telling us about this magnificent bay and whale-watching cruise that you took. Sounded like a nice cruise that I wouldn't mind taking myself sometime. Now, I'm just speculating, but with all the supervisors, coastal commissioners, and politicians aboard, it's hard not to believe that you were also there to promote and lobby for your development agenda. As you know, while you were out on your cruise, many of us were here in this community center representing and discussing probably the most important issue that faces our community, the issue of our water severity level 3 water conservation crisis and our water supply problem. Of course, this was a LOCAC meeting, and your developer employer was quoted in the Bay News referring to LOCAC as small-minded naysayers. So perhaps this is why you decided to take a cruise rather than represent your community at public meeting. It's also come to my attention that at Bruce Gibson's office hours last week, your employer, whose payroll you're on, lobbied Bruce Gibson for the dissolution of LOCAC. Employee of a developer, if you want to continue to promote development solutions for our community, I'm asking you to resign and do it as a private citizen. Finally, you concluded your director's comment with just about the most ridiculous and obtuse statement I've ever heard an elective representative make. You said, quote, "I don't usually keep my opinion to myself, so once again, it may be unpopular, but that's why you elected me." What? Director Tacker, where I come from, people get elected for representing the opinions that are popular, not unpopular. Where I come from, politicians who turn their backs on their community and sell out to the opinions that are unpopular usually don't get reelected. I no longer believe you represent the majority in this community. Your support of a developer with dollar signs in his eyes who wants to carve up our coastal community for his own personal benefit makes this clear. I voted for you. I will never vote for you again. Come next fall, you're going to find out just how unpopular your opinions are. Thank you for the time.
Maria Kelly, Los Osos. I never know where to segue in. I'm always waiting for a spot. It always seems to jump around, so I'm just going to jump in here. I had a nice opportunity to finally meet Mr. Ripley and talk with him and Orenco, and of course, my preference would be, of course, that they participate through the county process, because I'd have to agree with Mr. Perlman that I do feel like that would be the way for them to go, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here because, once again, thanks to Lois Capps, we are in the WERDA bill again. Of course, we all know we haven't been funded since 2000. Of course, like I've said before, I'm a victim of optimism, meaning that I recognize that Lois Capps is out there fighting for us. We are being recognized. There's no guarantees we're going to get that funding, but I, for one, do appreciate the time spent with her coming here, and I appreciate everybody's efforts, and I appreciate not being forgotten in Washington. So, you know, that being said, I just wanted to make that statement to the community that, yes, we are in there for $35 million again, and, you know, keep your fingers crossed and write your letters. Thanks.
Gabe Dugan, and thanks for the segue. Wastewater is the byproduct. Water is the product. But they have an element that's called reuse. And in the next few months, you're going to be hearing, I guess you would call it a battle cry of a second front opening up here in Los Osos and Morro Bay and the region over the reuse of the Morro Bay water. be very aware that people are looking at the illegality of dumping reusable water into the ocean, no matter how clean it is. Looking at public resource and water code, it looks to me as if 2 million gallons a day go into the ocean. It is contrary to water code. And that this board should look into that very closely. I'm starting a little study of precedent-setting findings, as well as the water code and public resource code. And it seems to me that following due diligence, they have allowed the county to build homes in the basin that are less than a half acre. I reminded the supervisors that the basin plan does not allow for homes that are less than a half acre to be built with septic systems in the basin, not just the prohibition zone. And now the board and their public works people are relooking at the basin plan, according to Bruce Gibson. And they may have built a lot of homes that do not comply with the basin plan. And that has caused our water problems here. And that'll be part of probably the litigation that's going to happen with these next front and the next war, the water wars. Thank you.
Chris Albee, Los Osos, CDO number 1019. I've made some public statements recently that have led some of you to think I'm in favor of the 218 vote, and nothing could be further from the truth. The moral issues involved in the 218 and the conduct of various persons and officials in the administration of the Los Osos wastewater issue has been appalling. These actions have induced fear and loathing of our public officials and the stress of possibly losing the use of their homes in the near future. All this trouble and expense over an unfunded mandate based on a non-provable pollution of our water aquifer by our wastewater systems. How can we vote on a process based on guesswork and innuendo and no guarantee of a solution to a non-problem? I would like to know what's going on behind the scenes right now, beginning with a polygraph exam on the guy that picked the first 56 CDO victims, and which included myself, my next-door neighbor. I have a lot more info on the 218 for anybody that asks. I've been looking at it over the last few days. Okay. I'll have to have another 3 minutes to talk about it much more. I can say that the whole thing sounds rotten. Can't even decide whether fees are tax deductible or not. And an open-end assessment ballot, you've got to be kidding. I have a couple people have asked me about signing their ballots when they turn them in. This is Section 4, Subsection D of the 218. Each notice mailed to owners of identified parcels within the district pursuant to Subdivision C shall contain a ballot, which includes the agency's address for receipt of the ballot once completed by any owner, and the owner may indicate his or her name. It doesn't say they shall. Reasonable identification of the parcel, et cetera, is required. Another problem has been all these, what they're actually going to call this tax. A general.
Pat Renshaw, Los Osos. I wanted to thank the Ripley and Orenco team for taking the time to speak with us today. I know they've been part of our community for a long time now. I almost feel like they're our friends, and maybe they'll even move here someday. I'd like to ask the board to consider the offer of the design build and the private funding that they're offering. I think that's something that we should really take into consideration. A lot of times, especially in the climate we have now, government would like us to work with private business. We just heard from our previous supervisor that we need to know what we're voting for. And I'd like to ask the board to consider a resolution to rewrite the 218 so that we can vote on a system that we want. We can only look at the past to determine our future. The TAC committee is trying, but without the correct information and the right numbers, they may not have the best interest, or they may not give the county the best interest of our community. I mean, we see more and more that, you know, community members are standing up at the TAC meetings and saying, you know, those aren't the correct numbers. So, and information. And I know that the time is running short, and the TAC is doing the best job that they can. But if they're not given the right information, how can they make a determination that's really going to be the best in the best interest for all of us? We hear that the Tri-W permit is coming to an end. And we have a chance here to give the community an affordable, sustainable, and economical system. We need our board, you, to stand up for us and to really, I don't know how much you can say to the county, but I just want them to know that there are people here that have been with this community for a long, long time, waiting and fighting and hoping that we can end up with a green and sustainable home that we can be proud of, that will be a beacon for other communities to look at, to say, you know, these people fought the good fight and they won. I don't want to be the one to lose. That's not how we want to end up. And I just want to say that the time is running out. We're already in August, and we need more answers and not politics. So thank you very much.
Peter Arnold, Los Osos. I hate to say this, but I actually agree with Ilan Perlman. He's a very intelligent gentleman for coming to the conclusion that a yes vote is the only way we have. This is our last chance to vote before the state comes in, and they've put off enforcement. Could you take that sign down behind you? They're very disrespectful.
Okay, please focus back here, and let's try and keep.
Who knows what they'll do? So even I urge people that can't afford to live here. I mean, I may want to live in Beverly Hills. I may want to live in a $1 million house on a hill, but I can't do it. And there's going to be people that can't live here. So the reality is, I'm not trying to be elitist here, but they should even vote yes on this because it's going to increase their property value. And if they have to sell their house, they'll be able to sell their house and afford someplace else or get a loan or get a home equity loan. It's going to increase the value of their house. This is the only chance we have. I urge you to vote yes on 218. Thank you.
Karen Venditti, Los Osos. I ordinarily would sit quietly in the back, but I cannot sit quietly at those last comments saying that people might have to leave their homes in order to pay for a sewer. Personally, I find that outrageous. Now, I know that affordability may not be achievable in the way that we would like. However, maintaining the character and the diversity of our community has to be achievable. That is not an option. One way or another, we will make sure that people do not have to leave their homes to pay for a wastewater system. Thank you.
Well, that was a very poignant statement, and I think it's very honest.
Identify yourself for the record?
Sorry, I'm Steve Page.
Thank you.
I spent 2 hours with the Pavo and most of the players in the county with Slow Greenbelt and Surfrider Foundation for most of the afternoon. We communicated back and forth. We met at the county courthouse. And one of the things that came up that I thought the community might like to be aware of is the county has essentially said that they would not pursue the continuance of the permit for Tri-W. And their reasons for that were it conflicted with their liability issue about the Tri-W site and the mitigation for the Tri-W boondoggle of ruining the Esha at Tri-W. Also, they said that it was inconsistent for them to go on board and continue with that permit would be inconsistent with CEQA, because they're concerned that all projects be given equal viewing under the process. And if Tri-W has a permit, essentially it is essentially not equal with the other four options that the county has put on the table. Those four options are the work of all of our community through the TAC Commission, and they're the work of everybody and financial issues that are all treated as part of the process of determining which system is the best on board. And so the county essentially wrote a letter to the Water Quality Control Board saying they would not seek the renewal of the permit. This is how I understood Pavo's expression today. And that, to me, I think is a very good thing. That's all I have to say.
One note. I think it would be the Coastal Commission that the county wrote.
Yes.
They had asked for an opinion, and we got that letter. I think it was dated the 30th.
Right.
And right. The Coastal Commission confirmed that on August 11th, the permit dies.
Right.
Unless the commission decides to extend it. The power is entirely with the Coastal Commission. Yeah. However, I think we would be the body that would have to request the extension.
Exactly.
Exactly. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think that both you and the county have decided to let this permit die. And I think that's a very positive step. Thank you.
Thank you. You said the date was now August 30th? No, I said the date of the letter July 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
The permit is still August 11th.
Any other public comment tonight?
Okay. Hi, Lacey Cooper. What I wanted to say, I see the need for a resolution. Pat mentioned it from this board. I came tonight looking for public leadership from this board. The vote is coming up. The Prop 218 ballots will be out in early September. It's been moved up. And I would like the board to consider crafting a resolution that would reflect your position and also to stand up for this community. From comments as the other gentleman made concerning that people should, if they have to move because, they can't afford to poop, well, that's just too damn bad. I think that's where the board needs to stand up. Stand up for those people, the 5,000 or 6,000 might have to move, or if the people can possibly stay here, then they'll have to decide whether they can take their medicine or poop and, pay for the sewer. It's kind of ridiculous that you would think that you would have $200 or $300 you know, there goes the disposable income, there goes the college for the kids, there goes any quality of life, or they can move, I guess. So I urge the board to do this by the 30th, or call a special meeting to do this. You have a range of what you can put in there. I don't expect the county to come back and honor, say, if you said, we'd like the process to be democratic, we'd like a CEQA first, we'd like to go through that project, that process, the process that should have been in place June 19th. So this is your chance to stand up for us, and I think it's long overdue. So please call a special meeting or agendize it for August 30th. We need to hear a public discussion by the board and to stand up. But the county does not need your help. They do need our money, and right now I cannot give it to them. Even if I lose my house, I'm not going to lose my soul over this. Thank you.
Additional public comment.
I'm Tom Nichols, and about a 28-year resident of the Prohibition Zone. I have trouble following all the technical ins and outs of Prop 218, so the best I could do is try to reduce it to the parallel of buying a used car and giving my view on it. I tried to have this published in the Tribune, but they didn't see fit to publish it. But here it is. You are semi-retired and live in the community of Los Osos. For the last 30 years, due to economic reasons, you have put off buying a car to replace your 1977 Hupmobile, now suspected of failing state emission standards. The only game in town at present is Moldy Motors, which has a spotty record on sales and service. This dealer offers about 5 machines near your budget requirements, one of them a known clunker, which is overpriced and already falling apart. You ask for the manager's best deal and receive his written offer. He will sell you one of the 5, including the clunker, at an unspecified price with the likelihood of increasing the payments at a future date, with him making the final irreversible choice. Also included is the dealer's right to file a lien on your modest home in anticipation that you will be unable to meet the unspecified payments. Are you going to play this bunco game? If not, wake up, get your bones out of bed, and vote no on Proposition 218. You still have choices, but financial harakiri is not the best one.
No, thank you.
Any other public comment tonight? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring that back to the board. And a couple of things that I do want to address. I heard a bunch tonight about a blank check. It seems we're confusing a blind vote and a blank check. The county has never said that the vote will be a blank check. There will be a cap on the assessment. Now, we know what happened with the previous assessment that morphed from 24 to 134 million. So fees and charges do enter into the picture. But the assessment vote itself is not going to be a blank check. There will be a range of alternatives and a cap on that price. The Tri-W permit has been mentioned August 11th. I expect that to be invalid, actually on the 12th. The Water Board's not happy about that, I do know. They've written the county, urging them that would not be a wise thing to do in terms of furthering a project. So I wouldn't say we're out of the woods yet. A key factor that I heard mentioned one point tonight was the $6.5 million SRF investment. And I think that has a lot to do The issue of trust, to me, is coming down to the CEQA and NEPA process. And had we started that process with a permitted Tri-W project on the table, I would not be comfortable at all at trusting that process because of interests that want to regain their $6.5 million or wherever, other agendas. But if Tri-W is truly off the table as a favored project, then as a permitted favored project, I'm comfortable with the CEQA process. It involves NEPA this time too, which is even a stronger requirement for equal analysis of alternatives. And that's what it's going to come down to. Do we trust a CEQA process? And this board, I think, is going to have to come out with a position statement by the end of the month. The county wants that, too. And so you can expect that. My message to the county all along has been you can find a way to involve the Ripley-Orenco team, or you can have them out there with a known alternative, and this community is going to have to make that decision. And you know where that decision will go. We're going to vote with our pocketbooks. We have to. The good news is I think we get a more sustainable, environmentally friendly project that way, too. You know what? I respected your comment time up here. That's what's going to play out. This next month is going to be very interesting as we see how this unfolds and where the assurances are that they're going to be a part of the process. And that's about all I had to say for now. Director Tacker.
I just wanted to kind of piggyback on something you said about blind vote versus blank check. And I'm even concerned about this board taking a position. I was publicly, chastised by Paavo Ogren for having a letter to the editor that pointed out a train wreck that I see coming, because I do see that the process is backwards and that the public wants their project identified in their vote. And so, you know, should our board agree with me, I think the county wouldn't like to hear that from us. So I'd like to send that message as a board, but and maybe we should, whether they're going to be angry with us or not, because I don't think that's what it's about. But I just know that I was tried to be humiliated. He tried to humiliate me by putting my letter to the editor in a PowerPoint presentation. It didn't work. What I see, and the best analogy for me, what I see happening is that the water quality and water supply issues in Los Osos are complex, and that we need a Humvee to take that Hyundai and slap on chrome and slap on tinted windows and slap on that four-wheel drive package and overdrive and dual carburetors. And pretty soon we're going to get that Humvee, but it's going to come without our consent because of the process. I think we need to know what we're getting. We all recognize that it needs to be a complex project that returns water to our basin, and we're getting a car when we need a special car. We need a unique project that addresses all our issues, and we're just not going to get that in that 218 up front. So I am opposed to the process that they're taking, and I hope through citizen outcry we can change their mind. And you know, a few months ago, the county talked about allocating another $5 million towards Los Osos after the 218 succeeds, recognizing that they're not going to be able to just start billing us and get that money up right away for the CEQA process. And I think what the citizens have put forward in their suggestion, that we are willing to pay as much as $5 million for a CEQA process ahead of a 218, so that we do have a clear defined project, that message just needs to be continue to be hammered home. And they are a political body, and we're a political body, and political bodies can be lobbied. And I think that's what needs to continue to happen, and I appreciate the citizens that are out there speaking about it. But to say no to a 218 is I can see the dilemma,
and I don't like it, and I don't like the water board being a hammer over our head. They're the wrong hammer over our head. The hammer is our own. The hammer is for Los Osos to have a water supply. That's a moral conscience that this community already has, and our decisions need to be made towards that end goal, and it's not going to be made well, and they haven't been made well. The decisions that have been made in the past have not been made well because the regulatory hammer of enforcement has been hanging around. And I'm not afraid of them, and I will take the consequences, whatever they are. And I didn't want to vote in 2001 because of the public nature of the vote. And by golly, I did. At the very last minute, I came running in this door with my ballot and voted, because I didn't want my neighbors and I didn't want the water board to know what my vote would be. But I did it anyway. And by golly, about a year and a half later, someone had pulled the public record and put that in the newspaper in a letter to the editor. My vote was exposed. How I voted was exposed publicly. And I'm glad I'm not embarrassed by it, because I would vote again no.
The county has evaluated the Ripley report as part of their process. So to say that the Ripley report has not been considered is simply not correct. Clarification on the context of Noel King's comments. Noel King also stated that the Tri-W project, you know, was to him somewhat of a square peg in a round hole. So this county has the sensitivity to the issues facing the community. And to clarification on affordability, the issue is not so much we can afford it, and so we have to figure out as a community how we're going to pay for it with the county's assistance. And the clarification of a known alternative, there is no alternative plan. I have seen an incomplete plan in 1998. I saw no plan at the recall. And there is no alternative plan. There is no Ripley alternative. There is a conceptual update to the project report that the CSD that had a minimal critique of the wastewater committee, whereas this time the wastewater committee of our own district has held numerous reviews of the county process. This is a very, they have, trusting the county, they have had a stated plan that they stated was a $2 million cap, so that the 218 was a known, what we were voting for, not necessarily the specific project, but with a not to exceed, and they have followed that plan. They've adjusted that plan, making this the most publicly reviewed process that this district has ever had, and that inspires trust.
Before Director Sennett wants to weigh in, I think we'll move on to general action item. Oh, you do? Go ahead.
I would just say don't diminish and discount the process that we're in right now with the county, and let it play out. We still have a lot of influence, and I see it happening. The county's stance on this project has changed greatly, you'll have to admit, from when the county administrator told us how it was going to be. I think people forget where we came from. From the days of the Blakeslee Compromise and people begging us, you know, hold up. Don't cave in. You know, can't you please? Oh, and we heard it from both sides. Come on, let the project go. No, hold the project. Don't, oh, you guys, I know it's really tempting to cave in. And we held our own. And now we have a county process, and it's vetted more options than you could have ever hoped for from the time of the Blakeslee Compromise. And you're not going to let it play out. You're drawing your conclusions first. And you still have a ways to go with the county in instituting or lobbying for your concerns. let's see how it plays out. This is, you know, you've got a lot of options now compared to what we came from. It's not to say we're not going to have legal challenges from opponents. So very carefully consider the value of what you have here. You have a process that's really seriously looking at a lot of things. And we have a say in a lot of them, an influence. And now's the time to push hard. I'm not saying just relinquish it, everything. Not at all. Push hard. Use the system that we have right now to get as much as you can before you vote. That's all.
Okay, we're going to move on to general action item A. Oh, okay, let's take a 10-minute break. We need a break. Okay, we'll bring the meeting back to order and move on to general action item A. Consider adoption of a resolution establishing district reserves policy and setting reserve account balances by fund. We have a staff report from Ms. Hugh on this.
Thank you, President Sasania. I'm putting up on the screen eventually. Bob, it didn't work. Oh, yeah. Switch the course. Oh, there we go. Thank you. What's coming up on the screen is actually the work paper that I used to come up with the data that then is in the. Can we hit this? No. What this is that on a yearly basis, we are required as a district, as part of our overall budget setting, to also set district reserves, and the process of setting reserves is that it's just prudent for a government entity to protect some of the funds that are set aside for particular purposes. This process has gone through the Finance Advisory Committee, and they did recommend to the board to accept the staff recommendation. There was a conversation. Do we need to focus that a little bit more? We can't decide which is the best way. I don't know how well you're going to be able to. There we go. Okay. I did give each of the directors a paper copy of this in front of you, and the first one we're looking at is the June 2006 reserves. What I did is I did a comparison here at the top. You have the reserves that were set by resolution at June of 2006. Okay. Below is the cash that we had as of that date. It has been often questioned, and the public has requested that we're able to tie in our cash or summer and winter or fall months until we get more property taxes. So it seemed reasonable to me to tie in our reserves and our cash at this date, and that is the way I have approached this. Okay, so it's important to clarify what I'm trying to do here. In looking at this document, we show a total on the right-hand bottom side, $6.4 million. I think it's important to clarify that $4.4 million of that at that point was cash held by the iBank on our behalf regarding the $5 million loan that we have with them. And this is not actual cash that we have available to us for any other purpose. It's simply for disbursement as we go through the project. Okay. The audit at June 30th of 2006 had certain reserve designations set, and it has been brought up several times that the fire department fund 301 showed
$600,000 fund balance, and therefore, you know, that's the money they should have. But if you look at the cash that I've allocated below, now you have to realize that part of this is my opinion as your financial person as to, you know, these allocations. I have not gone back and done a complete analysis since the beginning of time, you know, of all the ins and outs of the reserves. That would be very time consuming. That is something that if the board really wants us to go back and revisit that, that we could, because there's certainly, you know, but it's other people who, you know, were doing your books at that time. If you look at that audit, the 100 fund shows a cash balance of negative $300,000. So that's the problem with the other fund balances and therefore cash balances for the other funds, that they have to cover that negative $300,000. I have met with our auditor, and I told him I thought that this was really causing confusion, and I have asked him to review these numbers. My understanding is that we zero out the admin fund every year, so how do we end up with negative cash in it? So I have asked him to address this problem, and as part of our upcoming audit process, we'll be looking a lot closer at that. Okay. So then I did the same thing. For the current period of June 2007. And you'll notice I have not included anything to do with it, any of the wastewater funds. Okay, that's not included here. So once again, it looks like if you look at the bottom, though, we have $5.7 million. We do not. If you subtract out the $4 million that is still the iBank available cash, we have about $1.7 million. And even within that, you have figures. The LAIF shows $820,000. Yes, there's really $820,000 in there now. We did transfer $500,000 in there temporarily because, like I said, this is a high point in our cash, so we're wanting to earn that interest. And but $273,000 of that is resolution. And I want you to go past the resolution, and there is Exhibit A, and this is... and this is in everybody's packet, so you should be able to see this. Los Osos Community Services District Reserve Policy. We do not currently have a reserve policy. We've only ever had a resolution. But the CSDA did a study in response to criticisms of special districts some years ago and recommended that districts have a policy regarding their reserves. What this does is it establishes in a little bit more detail what the intent and purpose are for your reserves, and then it addresses the various kinds of reserves, like, you know, operating reserves, contingency, and it sort of sets some little more specific guidelines. For instance, under policy operating cash reserves, minimum amount of cash reserves would equal 2 months of operating expenses, maximum equal 3 months, and that above and beyond that, you would normally have those set aside in contingency reserves, which are for more of a, you know, an unexpected event, emergency, you know, of an operational nature, or in your capital reserves, something like that. You also note at the bottom of the first page, it mentions a rate stabilization fund. I do have in here that the Water Enterprise Fund does not currently maintain a rate stabilization fund, and you should, in reading any of the other information regarding rate stabilization funds, remember that I said that because we don't have one. We're not doing that tonight. I'm only leaving it in here because as part of the staff report, you'll see that I'm recommending that this be something that the district consider in the future and would have helped, you know, with our current increases in water rates. And if it's not in here and mentioned, then, you know, when you go into your strategic planning next year, it may just be completely forgotten. So that was my really only purpose in putting it in here. You'll notice at the bottom of the second page, it refers to procedure for monitoring reserve levels. And this is what really struck me about having a policy, is that you're putting it in your
district policies, you know, what kinds of events would trigger a concern on the part of the board in wanting to review the reserves in between this once a year, setting them. And I think that's probably important for the public to know what triggers that. In the resolution itself, then, is has the passing of this policy as well as setting the reserve balances. I wanted you to be clear that this resolution does include both of those. The resolution can be edited tonight if you prefer not to do that. The staff was recommending that you do both. This these reserve balances do not address, you know, all of the historical issues of the ins and outs, but at this point it gives what I feel is a very good starting point that has taken into consideration as much of past budgeted amounts, that in as opposed to us having to really cut expenses, we could look at it longer term and say, okay, well, we need to look in the long term at whether it's time to raise rates, but we don't have to do it on an emergency basis in order to meet our expenses. And so that's made a lot of sense to me.
So it seems like, I know we've had the abstract conversation about reserves and what they really represent, but this is actually an account that has additional funds in it that we'll get interest from.
Only some of it. If you look at the bottom portion, and you see that when we put funds aside in very specific funds like Water Quality Trust, Fire Public Facility Fee, those are very specifically designated, very often designated externally, as to their use, et cetera. When the board makes designations, then, I think that the fire sinking fund is a really good example that if we have budgeted amounts each year to go into that fund, then they will physically go into that fund and you'll be able to see that. But cash and contingency funds, especially cash, it's the difference between when you get your revenue in and when you have to make your expenditures. And so that's something that goes up and down at all times. And really, your checking accounts have part of that cash reserves in there. And it's only then really more from an investment standpoint that if we know we're not going to need some of those funds for a period of time, then we transfer them over to the LAIF. If you see that there's $630,000 showing in the checking totals, but we have three different checking accounts, and so in maintaining balances to cover payrolls and various expenses for each of the funds, we do have to keep a certain amount in there. But this was we had to make our iBank payment of almost $150,000 right in July, so that was part of the reason that amount was still up there.
So this is a reserve fund that's made up of funds from other accounts. So it truly is a reserve.
It's spread out all over the place. And Essentially what would happen is that if you had a year where you had some extraordinary expenses, then it might draw down your cash reserves, and we would end up showing that in the financials that we had to pull from reserves, and we would explain to you why. If we have we have line items in the budget that are called contingency, and the intention of those is to take care of current year unexpected expenses. But if those don't happen, which, like for the fire department, that didn't happen in the past year, then you physically transfer those, into the LAIF or into the fire department's reserve accounts to show that you've set that money aside. Because just because it didn't happen this year, I always give the example of the pump. Just because the pump didn't go out this year, probably means two will go out next year. So it happens in the end, and they don't seem to cooperate quite a short period of time. So they tasked me with passing on. Director Sparks was there as well.
Yes, Director
Sparks. Yeah, the Finance Committee met and did recommend that the board adopt the staff recommendation. Discussion primarily concern is, again, with the fire reserves, and I think principally centering on what should be the replacement reserves. You can look at this three different ways. You can make the reserves a wish list, or you can try to make them exactly match what your as close as possible to your cash, or I think, which is what Ms. Hugh is trying to do, is make the reserves a realistic goal during the year based on your budget that you're trying to maintain. So it provides a guideline to staff. And I look at the cash flow lines at the top as guidance to staff that on those cash and checking accounts, that those are levels that they don't want to fall below during the year.
Are you talking about the cash flow reserves?
Yes. No,
that's actually the highest level that you would expect them to be. And the goal would really be that if it was about, you know, $600,000 at June 30th of 07, that it would be back at that by June 30th of 08. But during the course of the year, especially along about November, when the water revenues are going down, if it rains, and the you know, we have not received any property taxes since April and May, then that would tend to, you know, those actual cash levels would tend to be quite low at that point. So they will see fluctuations, but, you know, that would, you know, hopefully be the highest level.
Which means that you go below the, your reserve level during the year versus mm-hmm. With what I'm saying, you would actually... And that's the, I guess, the problem or the issue when you set them at the highest point versus if you set them lower. I like staff having a floor that they can report back to the board as well. But
if we go under a certain,
right.
That makes
right.
sense to me as well. That, yeah, I can see. You know, there's definitely a lot of different ways to approach. It seemed to be, especially for this evening, to, you know, kind of present, you know, what are these reserves? What accounts are they in, you know, to show that? But I see your point. I think that's very reasonable, and that you could even add to your policy that, you know, if it looked like just simple cash reserves were falling below a certain level, that would be another monitoring point back to the board.
The specific recommendations regarding the amounts kind of seem tied to your monthly expenditures per account. Did that come from the Special Districts Association? Where did we come up with that, you know, to a minimum of
2 to 3 months?
Yeah. Or whether it be a year to a year and a half?
Yeah, that was... That is a recommended guideline. Actually, the CSDA tends to refer over to the GO. That could go on all night.
Regarding the monitoring of reserves and Director Sparks' comments about the low point of the year, you don't feel that that would be covered under your third bullet there, when a major change in conditions threatens reserve levels established within this policy. And then you go on to explain that analysis indicates projected actual reserve levels falling 10% below or above levels outlined. So you don't think that actually kind of captures that concern?
Probably not on the cash reserve, because the general manager has a lot of leeway with the cash reserves, and I think that maybe what Director Sparks was alluding to is that, you know, where would we expect to be at our lowest point in the year? And, you know, would we still expect to see that we have a couple $100,000 at least in regular cash reserves, you know, to get us through any kind of an extraordinary expense or emergency or something? Which is, you know, really that's what the contingency reserves are for, but, you know, yeah, it's kind of a safety net there. So, you know, at this point, there wouldn't be any real reportable point with the cash reserves. It's really looking at those contingency and capital type reserves that I think that a lot of this monitoring refers to, that if you have reserves for those things, you know, should really be a lot more permanent. And I think that that has been where some of the criticism has come, is that, you know, that LAIF account was just being pulled to pay the expenses, and it wasn't really being monitored at, you know, what point should it have remained in order to be covering those reserves.
Did you have any recommendations for additions to the monitoring of the reserve levels procedure?
No, not at this time. I guess, I don't know, Ms. Hugh, if before the budget's adopted, if you're going to have a cash projection analysis, you've done them prior.
I have a cash projection.
Because that cash flow analysis really, I guess, would, by showing that to the public, you know, when it shows that ebb and flow of the cash and shows where you hit the low points, and then I think illustrates the monitoring. And
yeah, that's where I've gotten my information. I do have a cash flow, but it's just district-wide for all of the three checking accounts. It doesn't show them separately. It doesn't show the funds separately, but I do have that through December of 2007. And,
Monitoring's going on year-round. I mean, you're not talking about a particular point in the year that you pick to monitor.
That's right.
You'd be looking at this year-round, and so you'd know, it seems to me, that it seems low this month, but it's low this month every year at this time.
I think that it would be one of those things that, you know, board members or the finance committee, you know, would give them some guidelines to sort of pick up and be questioning staff as well. If they saw that, you know, $500,000 had been drawn out of the LAIF, but the cash accounts were only showing a couple $100,000, it would be, well, you know, care to give a report on
our meetings about reserve funds for the fire department, the reserve accounts. I can't comment on all of the things that have come up at the meeting without having a chance to review our minutes and our notes. But I do know we expressed a lot of concerns about the fire department reserve accounts. And so my major concern is that we didn't have a chance to go through this policy as the finance department did, so that we could make some formal comments to you. And it does say in the recommendation that you should receive public input. And I would like the Emergency Services Committee to have the opportunity to discuss it. We have some really intelligent people on that committee. In fact, everybody is. And with some really good ideas. We have a lot of concerns about funds being taken from the fire department reserve account, and without us having a chance to be advised or at least acknowledging, you know, why the funds have been taken out and what they're being used for. And we expressed concerns about if the fire tax was set at the highest limit, which I believe it was, that any excess dollars collected in the fire tax should be set aside in a fire department reserve fund. And so I just have some concern. You know, basically, I think the policy looks good. I'm not criticizing anything. But I do have some concerns that it's a little bit ambiguous as far as the procedure for using reserve funds. And that's where I would like to have the Emergency Services Committee have the chance to go over it at our next meeting, which is in August the 21st, I believe, and to make recommendations to your board before you take a final vote on this. I think that was it. Thank you.
Director Sparks. Oh, okay. I thought you had a comment.
I guess I did want Mr. Veneris to weigh in on the fire reserves and you know, the standards and the replacement, particularly in the replacement fund. Doesn't have to do, maybe if the Mr. Dugan wants to wait, listen to Mr. Veneris.
Mr. President, I appreciate the opportunity to come up here. Kind of the history on this, due to some scheduled vacations, I know we'll make the Finance Committee meeting, and due to yesterday's fire in San Luis City, this, I didn't get a chance to take a peek at this until this afternoon. So Chief Jenkins and I did discuss this a little bit this afternoon, and we do have some recommendations. We do realize that, you know, we are the contractor and we're working for you guys. And so the recommendations we give are just that. It's your money and you have to manage as you want. And we do respect that. But in the last several years, we have seen the reserve accounts for the fire department slowly but surely come down. When we first showed up, it was considerably more. In the last couple of years, it's been in the $600,000 to $650,000 range. And this year, it'll be set at $400,000. And so that does concern both the chief and I. A quick question for Ms. Hugh. The replacement fund, is that the same as the sinking fund on this?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that shows a goal of $140,000 with the $98,000 that we put in to not rescue off annually put in there. Our goal has always been about $500,000, the industry standard for reserve accounts collectively for all of the reserves for the fire department, about 6 months operating. And, of course, if you do the math on it, you know, we got a $2.1 million budget somewhere in there, not counting the FEMA grant. That $500,000 really doesn't make that six-month operating. It's a little bit off. But that's been what we've recommended the last several years. The other thing that I'd like to suggest is that the sinking fund and the Fire Public Facility Trust Fund are actually allocated reserves because they're dedicated to something. And Chief Jenkins and I discussed this at length, and we would recommend that that's not considered part of your reserve account because it is allocated. We understand that the contingency and the cash flow are stuff that we're going to be using, you know, and that could, we understand that. But if we're going to use that, if we have a dedicated amount and we know what we're going to use it for, is that really reserves, or do we know that in 2 years I'm going to use that to buy a new fire engine? And a new fire engine's, you know, $450,000 plus. So just some of the thoughts we had on that. And I can answer any questions if you'd like.
Can I clarify a couple of things? I did make it clear at the beginning that I had switched over, and this is not a goal-oriented setting of reserves, but the sinking fund amounts are budgeted for, and during 07-08, they would be transferred into that account. At the end of 08, then the reserve would be set to reflect that new balance, and so that's what you're seeing, kind of a change in how we're addressing that. And the governmental accounting, really the types of things like the fire public facility fee that have been designated and the water quality trust are designated by outside parties, those are actually the only true reserves with that definition of the word. What we're really doing here, and this is one of the things the CSDA noted, is that it's a bad use of the term because the board cannot permanently reserve any funds that has to come from outside, but they can designate things for a particular purpose. So I didn't try to completely change the world here, but that is something that should be discussed, that, you know, you sort of picked up on it's different if these things were designated by someone else as opposed to just the board, and we probably should consider looking at that in the future. And certainly the way that GASB 34 accounting requires now, there's no reserves even noted. It's restricted or non-restricted. And if it's a board designation, it's still non-restricted, as opposed to like the fire public facility fee and water quality trust would be considered restricted funds.
Okay, well, thank you for the clarification. I understand a little bit better now. Our big goal is just to, as your contractor, to provide you the advice for the long term, and that's what we're trying to do.
Director Tacker.
Chief, would you like to see this come back to the Emergency Services Committee? Our meeting's later this month on the 21st, and send recommendations. I think this could come back. Okay, well, after the rest of public comment, you might hear a motion that puts that into motion.
Thank you.
God, we just done this a year ago or so. When I look back here at page 5, and it says Subject to related district policies, the general manager is authorized to make expenditures from the cash flow reserves and contingency reserves. So I ran up here and I looked up the contingency reserve accounts, and I see fire fund, special taxes. And, of course, that was just covered, previous speaker. Which then I ran back here to the last page on the whole thing, and operating the contingency reserves can be used at any time to meet cash flow, unexpected expenditures, and requirements of district operation. Authorities use this funds will be consistent with the district's purchasing policy. And I was just very aware of what happened with all the funds and all the reserves. And just to see this, it kind of, if the general manager can start spending money, and you've already, the policy has to be laid out by the board. And I'm really concerned that what happened before, that is, you're not, are you going to be allowing somebody to spend money above and beyond? I'm just kind of worried about that and what happened before. Just take that into account. And I was looking over here at Water Quality Trust Fund. That's the MTBE. We still have money in that account for that, a little bit. But also, too, if there was any kind of grants available through, let's say, public resources, especially for water-related items, would money from that would help with that reserve as well, wouldn't it? I would think. And I'm thinking that we should be looking into grants for this water thing that we have going on. And let's look at the public public resource code and the first few chapters of the water resource code, of the water code, because in there it's all laid out that there are lots of dollars available, lots of dollars, if we want to recover and reuse water. And I think that would go a long way. And I don't think this is money you have to pay back. And it works with the state. And the state or the public resources will actually appoint a agency to be the lead agency in that area. And there's money available for that. So take a look at that.
President Sasanian, just another clarification. Subject to related district policies is actually a very important subject to, and I think you know that those policies include that the general manager cannot sign any voucher over than $5,000 or more than 10% over any particular budget line item. So those two protections, as long as you're, you know, making sure that your books are being kept properly and up to date and you're, you know.
Hang on the back page. There's two little bullet points. An explanation of why the reserve levels are not at the targeted level, and or an identified course of action to bring reserve levels within the minimum and maximum levels prescribed. Why can't we just state both of them? It kind of seems funny that you do one and not the other. Just a comment on that. And I'm assuming with what Anna Jane just said, we don't really need to delineate the rules under this paragraph, operating and contingency reserves, that she just said, and what Joe said too. We don't really need to say that here, I think. It's kind of a more general document. Anyway, it'd be nice to talk it over. Thanks.
Just along Perlman Prohibition Zone, this is just a brief comment having to do with the clearing of land for fire hazards. And I just hope that, it's not on the budget, but I hope that the Chief Veneris knows that there's sufficient budgeting so that in the future when people need to clear land, there's adequate staffing to give them the right directions because they are more abandoned stale habitats, and we've known that it's happened very recently that such a disturbance has happened. And so what activities, I would hope that there's no budgetary constraints on that being stopped in the future. Thank you.
Any additional public comment on the reserve fund policies? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for consideration. And I have a feeling we want to continue this item until the end of the month so that Emergency Services Committee can review it at their meeting on the 21st, was that?
That's correct.
Can we do that without a vote?
You should have a motion and
do it. So move.
Second. Second.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, let's see. Action item B, discussion of the bond redemption cash flow analysis and report.
This item was requested by, or Director Sparks has requested of me to provide this information, and because we are at a level of staffing currently that really limits what we're able to accomplish, I felt that this was a way to bring it before the whole board that, you know, staff needs direction from the board as a whole. And I wanted to give some estimate of, you know, how much staff time I thought this would take, and that, I mean, it's not something that for the most part, I mean, some of the grunt work of going to storage and pulling files and that kind of stuff could certainly be accomplished by other staff, but it would require a certain amount of my time, which is certainly at a premium currently.
You know, I wanted to get staff to provide analysis of the funds provided from the assessments, what accounts they went into, and then how the bond redemption was paid. I did look at, I had the general ledger after the audit when I first requested this, which was almost 4 months ago. Namely, I was not on the board at the time that the board borrowed from the reserves to pay for the September 2006 payment, and the bond documents also stated that within a year that if borrowing from reserves, it should be repaid, and that made me concerned, being a new board member, not being able to make that payment, and those bond documents say that when you don't repay after a year, they provide some other language that I think Ms. Hugh would have to elaborate on because that's not clear. So I think it was important for transparency that the board understand the funds from 2002 to 2006, what accounts they went to, how they were paid, because I think it is serious because from the standpoint of the bondholder, you know, missing a payment means we did receive those funds. I pulled the general ledger at the audit to review it, and it's really quite simple. When you look at the wastewater assessments in account 4061 from October 2005 to April 2006, there are payments of $1.1 million approximately, and we make a payment in March 1st of approximately $400,000. And September 1st, approximately $700,000. So, you know, touching we've brought up on reserves, but simplistically, as that money comes in, you should create, there should be a floor, there should have been a floor for that account where that money never fell below so that you could make the payment in March, which was made in 2006 of $400,000, but then not in September. So I think it is important to understand those funds, and it was important to me, not being a board member at the time in 2006 when that bond payment was missed. The last bond payment before that bond payment was missed was in August 22nd of 2005. And so but because the bond redemption fund called out in the bond documents was not made originally in 2002, I wanted to trace back to that point as well and find out you know, what accounts that went into and what accounts it went out. So initially it could be two steps. I wanted to start with the 05-06, go back. Ms. Hugh prefers to, I think, go from 2002 to the beginning all the way out, she's talking 10, 12 hours, so I don't think in the scheme of things that, makes much difference which way she does it. But I particularly wanted this. I requested it quite a while ago, and I particularly wanted it done before this anniversary of the bond payment.
This one we really should spend the money on. Thanks.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos, and I would have to completely disagree with that. Though I would like to set people's suspicions and just make them feel right that there's not underhandedness going on or something like that. That I'm not sure that it's really needed right now. Let's wait until we get a general manager and he can put the house to order and he can allocate the time and the place and whoever does what. And it's going to sit there. It's still there. The information's there. It's not going anywhere. Is there a need for it right now, really? And I really don't think there is, other than alleviating some suspicions. Oh, my God. Let's go all the way back to the conception of the CSD, start counting pennies and dollars and actions from all the way back then, and let's get a clear view of what really took place. Of course, I don't think we have enough people to do that. Maybe the Attorney General does. And, of course, it would fall back on us to pay for it again, too. So I'm just thinking that, and I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but it's not the right time.
Additional public comment.
Yeah, I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I just have a question. It says, wasn't there an audit performed on all of this stuff shortly after the recall? It seems to me that there was an audit requested and it was done.
No, was on the wastewater funds. On the bond funds, on the wastewater funds, the SRF funds.
The bond was the assessment for a wastewater fund.
Yeah, but that was not what the court had requested. They had requested the SRF funds, which were in a separate account, and that was analyzed.
SRF.
Mr. Payne, maybe I'll make it more confusing, but I think there are three categories you might think of. The bonds were sold, the 20 approximately million sold, and then spent on the wastewater project.
19.6 million, yes.
We're not talking about that here. And then there is the SRF funds, the loan from the state, and that was audited as part of a contractor suit that was done a separate audit ordered by the court. That was the 6.4 million from the state. This account is simply the payback on the assessment, the yearly paybacks for that assessment. Every year, 1.1 million is approximately collected, and then in March there's an approximate $400,000 payment. And September 1st, $700,000 payment. It's really not. I think compared to the spending of the money raised from the bonds, it's a lot simpler mechanism to follow than that. Aside from the fact that when she looks at when the revenues were collected and what account they were put in, I can't predict, where that would go. But that's what I'm asking for.
Yeah, I understand that.
$400,000 on March 1st, 2006, that was made. But for September 1st, 2006, it was drawn from the bond reserve account.
Okay, well, anyway, this is Mr. Margaret's field, not mine. I'm not up on numbers, so I just thought it was all already had been reviewed and audited and so forth. So thank you.
Any additional public comment? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. I guess I'm kind of the opinion, if not now, then when do we get this done? It would be, I would imagine, a while, a new GM coming in. Would that be something you think they could be tasked with, or would you wind up doing it anyway under your consultant contract that will probably wind up continuing.
I'm sure I would be the one who would end up doing it with staff assistance. At this point, just without that general manager in place, then, you know, I get pulled. And the only 2 days I'm there, I get pulled into a lot of other things, and there's not much time. So, it could be one of those things that if you want it done now, then, you know, I find the time and I work the additional hours. I mean, I think that's kind of the point I was making, is that, well, okay, I'd have to work the additional hours to make it happen. Or we could wait until there was a permanent general manager, and, you know, when that person and I will then sit down and talk about my role with the district and set priorities, et cetera.
Director Sennett.
Anna Jane, the bond assessments, when they came in from the county, when the payments came in, they were generally distributed to the LAIF fund or account until they were dispersed to the to make the payments. Wasn't that the way it was done?
No.
We did.
I did do an analysis of the LAIF account, and it seemed to be that at the point that those bond proceeds, okay, now we're not talking about the assessments to pay the bond, we're talking when we actually sold the bonds, came into that LAIF account, then that ended up being the only use that that fund was put to from that time on. And that it seemed that the all of the assessments, all of the property taxes that came from the county were just in the general checking account. We only had the one account at that time.
And we didn't have separate bank accounts to put, you know, now we have two bank accounts, as I understand. We have one that the payments go directly into as a holding fund, and then they make the disbursement to the, I forgot the name of the account.
I think it's probably important to note that at this point, in fact, I had a discussion with a gentleman from S&P today, and both MBIA, who insured the bonds, and now S&P have said that they are glad that, you know, now that these special trust accounts have been set up, and MBIA really has very little concern left. They can see that that methodology is working. And Mr. Dyson from S&P said the same thing today. Everything is, when we have enough money for everything, it works, because we use fund accounting within our accounting program. So when that money comes in, it gets dumped into the general account, but then there's the revenue account is, you know, wastewater assessments, and it's the 600 fund. And so those are very closely designated, and that's how we end up with those, you know, different financial statements, et cetera. But you're correct, when you're not, watching all of that close enough, and it's all in one bank account, and you're not, you know, taking that into consideration, then it is difficult. You know, I know a lot of people will say, well, you know, this particular money was pulled for this particular, you know, bill. I know a lot of people say, well, we pulled the money from the LAIF to pay Cal Fire. Well, you know, we pulled the money from LAIF to just pay our bills in general, and that happened to be a really big one. So, it is difficult to, you know, pinpoint that. And but you can certainly get the general sense of when we, you know, pulled the LAIF down, you know, too far.
And we've had a couple of. Well, we have our yearly audit. We've had court-mandated audits, and there's nothing that I have seen that shows that any money that came in was not dispersed to satisfy the debt of the district, and that it wasn't spent properly. So would any accounting Vice President Sparks wants to have done, would that the intent is not to show malfeasance in the way it was spent, but just to qualify where it went. Isn't that generally true?
You know, one of the things that you have to remember is that It was September of 06 when we did not have the money to pay the bond payment. Okay? Well, that's in the fiscal year that just ended in June of 07, which has not yet been audited. So that absolutely will be an issue in the audit that we're about to begin. The auditor does address subsequent events after the June 30th, 06 audit, and this certainly was a major item of discussion. But, you know, that bond reserve has a particular purpose, and, you know, that is, you know, the way that we used it. And the requirement is that then we're supposed to pay that back within 1 year. So it doesn't become a huge issue for the auditor until a month from today.
Yeah, I'm not sure of Director's Senate statement. Was it, it was not spent to satisfy the debt of the district. The fact that we had funds come in and that were, however you want to call it, were not set aside, reserved, monitored. I also, you know, delaying this again. I don't want to be polite in my words, but I brought up the repayment at the audit, and other members of the public did. That was back in March, and I, you know, we talked about 10, 12 hours, 1 hour a week back then. We'd have this right now. I mean, as a board member, with this bond payment coming up, understand, and I think the board members also understand that when we come out of Chapter 9, we probably have some resolutions, and I don't want to postpone, I don't want to use the word ignorance, but I don't want to postpone a lack of information, because in the dealings of Chapter 9, as you know, we're making, we have in discussions with the county certain agreements. And so this information is very relevant. It would have been very relevant 4 months ago. It actually, in my opinion, should have been done before I ever came on the board. To see it postponed again, I mean, that may be the choice of these board members. I would remind my fellow board members, after the recall, there were calls for there was a resolution to have investigation. Miss Vega, for signing a contract or agreement back in 1999, had to be put on leave. At this point, I'm just asking to understand exactly the flow of the revenues and where the payments came from. And if it can be 2 hours a week, I mean, I'd like, I'm not going to feel comfortable if I don't have this before the next bond payment, particularly since this is something I've requested going on 4 months, and it hasn't been agendized. And I've seen, I don't know how else I can state it. I think there is relevancy that it has to our business of the district.
Director Tacker.
I have to agree with Mr. Dugan in his comments in the public comment portion. I think we do want this information, Joe, and I don't know that we're fighting you from getting that information. I think our staff resources are limited, and I personally have a priority for Anna Jane's time, and I'd like to see our in-house water rate study get done. I think, you know, we're operating a water department with some unknowns out there about its revenues. So I think it can wait till we have a general manager that can help delegate the staff time.
Director Sennett?
Yeah, I further feel that, you know, this is the analysis of where the money was spent and if it was spent properly will come out in the audit, the annual audit. what it was spent on. Obviously, it was offset for satisfying wastewater debt, legal debt, and whatnot. And it's because we had the funds frozen, and at the time it was a case where we either used these funds for satisfying debt or declare bankruptcy right then. It was a survival mode. It was, you know, to sacrifice part of the district to save the district. It's a recovery mode now. I don't think an audit of this is going to point to anything except the district made a decision to use these funds, which weren't in a sheltered account, to continue the viability of the district. And that's all it's going to point to, in my opinion. And if there is any impropriety, it'll come out in the final audit, which I don't anticipate. And so I would say that this is not an essential product that we need to produce. And at this time, I think we should concentrate on other things. I just don't see it as providing any information that's going to help us guide the district. I just don't.
Number one, you said the district made a decision to use these funds. I don't know when that decision was made. Number two, you talked about the funds being frozen, and that's not entirely true. Well, the SRF funds were frozen in March of 2006. There were payments received on the order of over $400,000 targeted for this after that. It's in the 4061 general ledger. So that's not entirely true. In terms of the audit, in terms of what's been requested, I don't know that I agree with that, because the funds for this came in during the fiscal year 05-06 audit. We're talking about the upcoming 06-07 audit. So the audit showed funds spent from the audit in March 05-06. So it doesn't necessarily show, that audit doesn't tell you, you know, what these funds were spent on. It shows that there was that August 22nd, 2005 payment was made, and then the revenues that came in after that, because that's how it happens every year. So that audit just shows you, that you make a payment and you have revenues, but it doesn't show that particular imbalance. So I guess I don't fully agree, or even say I don't fully understand how that audit's going to do that.
I think an audit of the general cash flow, the revenues we take in and the revenues that we expend, are the net measure of the district's soundness. And at the time, you know, money was going out, and lo and behold, you do not have sufficient funds to make the bond payment. And how did that occur? Because there was not a set-aside fund that was unavailable to the district. And that's how it occurred. And that's the way it was set up from inception. That the money's coming in from the county for the bond assessment revenues were put into the general account and fully accessible. And it's always been that way. And that's how it occurred.
At the audit, I had asked a question on the budgeting. And I don't think that's entirely true, because 05-06, there was no mid-year budget, but this was asked to Ms. Hewitt at the time of the audit. Was there a mid-year budget adjustment? She said no. So
there was a budget for 05-06 pass, June 05. And then the financial statements, I forget what period, whether it's January or March of 2000, January, February 2006, started showing revised budgetary figures that were never adopted. So when you say, yes, funds came into general accounts, but we say how this happened, this happened because there wasn't, you know, Ms. Hughes said there was no mid-year budget adopted, but there are financial statements showing mid-year budget. So I don't even know what to say about that. Again, if the rest of the board doesn't want to do this, I'll have to take that under consideration. I'm going to make this very statement very clear. I am very uncomfortable not having this done before the repayment of the bond on September 1st. And I'll have to take that under consideration.
The bonds get paid whether this study is done or not. And if you have this information, what will you do with it? What benefit will it be to you?
Well, we can't reconvene to discuss. It's not on the bankruptcy, but I would remind my board members, I stated this. We, coming out of the bankruptcy, and we're going to go before the court, think about what, the proposal is. And there is relevancy. And, I'll limit it to that. I don't know what more I can say.
I just consider this information superfluous. It really is right now.
At best, we're going to have a 2-2 tie on directing staff to move on this, and I just don't think that's worth debating any further. I do want to see this resolved. I think we need a general manager on board to free up a little bit of your time to get to this. It's got to be a high priority, but I'm not going to direct that action now. I think we need the general manager on board and then make it a top priority. And I think we'll leave it at that. And I appreciate your patience and understand your concern and need for answers.
Is there any more board discussion?
I will entertain discussion. If you have any last parting comments.
Ready to make a motion.
I'll entertain a motion.
Yeah, we make a motion to A, have staff prior to the August 30th budget meeting to do an analysis of the 05-06 bond redemption cash flow account, and then part B, have staff do cash flow analysis of the bond redemption account from 2002 to 2005 at a date at a later date.
Do we have a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Administrative and committee reports. We'll move on to that. I'd like to have Phil Veneris come up and give his report at this time. You might like to get home and get some rest. There's going to be another fire soon, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, Mr. President, you're probably correct. As I look at the June report, one thing that I see omitted is the 2007 totals that we typically put in there on the fiscal year. And we'll work on that. There's a couple other things I'd like to point out before I go too further, much further, we are still accepting firefighter applications for reserve firefighters at the station. We'll continue to accept applications until the 10th of this month, next Friday, a week from tomorrow, with interviews and a physical agility anticipated that same weekend. So if there's anybody out there who would like to be a reserve firefighter for the CSD, come on down. We'll get you an application. We'll assist you in preparing that. We still have some smoke detectors and some 9-volt batteries available free of charge. Please contact the station if you'd like to have a free smoke detector, and we can help you install that as well. As noted earlier, there will be an ESC meeting on the 21st, I believe it is, of this month. I'd have to look at the calendar, but I believe that's correct. Yep, I'm getting a shake of head. 5 o'clock at the station, and we'll be discussing a number of things, including the reserve accounts. And finally, there was a question earlier about fire hazard reduction in the budget. And just for clarification, we don't budget for fire hazard reduction itself. We budget for the implementation of the program, which ensures that, or helps to ensure that the landowners do that. And so that is budgeted, and we do work with that. If there are questions regarding how to reduce your fire hazard at any time of the year, we encourage the folks here to do that in an environmentally friendly fashion. And so we've worked with the Fish and Wildlife Service out of Ventura office. We've helped develop a set of standards on how we can meet both the goals of the environment and to maintain our threatened and endangered species, as well as protect your homes and your property. And we've gone out on a number of times and personally walked with landowners to see that their land is how they can best mitigate those issues. So I encourage people with questions to contact the department, and either one of my captains or myself would be happy to go out and help them. Is there anything with the report that I can answer on for you? Okay.
Not on the report, but I have a question about smoke detectors.
Yes.
Mine went off in the middle of the night the other night. Okay. The green light was still on. It tells me the battery wasn't bad, but it would periodically beep, stop, 30 seconds, beep again. Of course, in the middle of the night, I'm not real good at being able to pull the thing down and get the battery out, even though the light was still green. And then it stopped after I was fooling around with it. And someone told me that spider webs will occasionally...
Spider webs and dust. Was it a windy night? Did you have a window open?
Always.
Okay, then. That's a lot of that. You'll get dust in there or spider webs. It triggers a sensor, and it'll set them off.
Fiddling around with it
could have
just
yeah.
jarred the web
how,
loose.
How old is your detector?
2 years.
Okay. We recommend changing them after 10 years, whether there is sound or not, and so that's probably still within its life expectancy. I would change the battery just for general purposes, and if it continues to do that, I would change the detector. But you're testing it monthly and changing your batteries twice a year, right? There you go.
Yeah, right. And vacuuming the spider webs almost that often.
Yes.
Yes. What about the hardwired smoke detectors, the EAC ones mm-hmm. that are wired into house current? Should they be replaced every 10 years?
We still recommend that, and that's a general industry recommendation. And the reason we do is a new technology comes about, and there's certain pieces of equipment. Electronic equipment within those that just wear out. So it's just a good habit.
Thank you for the education.
No problem. Have a great night.
Okay, back to administrative. Let's see, where did we have that report from Anna? Well, she's busy right now. Committee reports. I don't think the Wastewater Committee has met recently. They finished their fine screening analysis. We got the comments off to the county. So we do not have anything from them. Water Ops Committee, I don't see anyone here from that committee. I know we have a new committee chair. I guess that would be the one point of news. Mr. Swanson submitted his resignation, and Mr. Sneed is now the chair of the Water Ops Committee. Anna Jane, do you want to go back to your oral report? Did you have something for us?
I didn't have any a whole lot to report, but I thought I would update you on the iBank extension process. Would you like that?
Mr. Milanes and I have not been able to talk, but I did have a conversation with Wallace Group today, and they are going through our extension request and, you know, basically our whole time with them with the fine-tooth comb, and they're asking some additional questions, and this is all good, and well, and we even actually had the main person who was out sick for a period of time, which kind of delayed it somewhat. But Wallace Group is responding to their requests, and you know they had to adjust a few things on the extension request itself, and they'll be getting that back out very shortly. And so we still do not have an answer, but we know that they are working on it.
Yes.
Can you update us at all on the Tri-W property, the grading that went on, and the status of the fence?
Status of the fence is that it'll be staying there for now because the banded dune snails like it as a habitat. we'll be, we're not doing anything more on it at this point, and they, you know, was it the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? They said that the area that, you know, we were working on was not an issue and there was no snails out there. But, yeah, I believe that the snails decided to park themselves under some sandbags that were up against the west fence. And so, yeah, you know, so.
You know, we have a take permit. We can kill 29 snails as part of the project.
Actually, their opinion right now is that as soon as we stopped the project, that because it's, you know, it's not federally funded project with those separate guidelines, that that's all null and void, and we can't move them, we can't.
We need another consultation to be able to remove the snails from our fence so that we could remove the fence.
Right. So that means we need rain
so that they'll go away.
The snail surveys have to happen after wet,
right,
after rain.
Right. Yeah.
Could we use a sprinkler?
No, that would be artificial. But maybe we can ask U.S. Fish and Wildlife to pay the rent on this fence?
Yeah, I see that as, you know,
wow,
a real issue, you know, that we paid the money was very specifically what we were paying out was, you know, nothing compared to continuing now. Because for those in the public who don't know, the fence had been paid for a two-year period that ends on August 19th. And so we were just trying to, you know, mitigate the dangers out there so that we could take down the fence. Mr. Milanes actually intended to probably still fence off a small portion, you know, where the drainage, you know, and rain runoff occurs. But we're not doing anything more at this point until further consultation. So it did remind me, Ms. Tacker, when you had said that these snails really seem to prefer, you know, some of our
man-made
habitats.
Absolutely. The other problem I see coming with that is a snail survey is going to be about $5,000.
Yeah.
After we get five rains.
Yeah.
So we better have a bake sale.
Yep.
Okay. Finance Committee report. Anyone here from the Finance Committee? I guess we actually heard that they met Monday and went through the reserve.
Yeah, the only item they went through was the reserves, and they'll be meeting before the budget at the end of the month.
And Emergency Services is meeting on the 21st, is that it?
Yes, the 21st at 5 p.m. at the fire station, and it appears that our reserve policy and setting account balances will be on that agenda. Environmental Review Committee?
Oh, yes, Environmental Committee.
August 13th at 7 p.m. at the district office.
Ad hoc committee reports. I think the county liaison committee would probably be the first one that would have anything to say. And obviously, we've got some work to do. This is a critical month in trying to work with the county and bring some comfort to the community that there's opportunity for firms like Orenco to participate on equal footing. there has to be a way. We have to see that process spelled out. And I mean, we've it's been mentioned many times before, and that'll be the goal this month. And I know the county would be, let's say, receptive to some kind of policy statement from this board, and that's something I think we're going to have to be considering this month too. Yes, Director Senate.
Can we initiate any beginning action to forward that concept?
I have a draft resolution that was submitted by a citizens committee, and I could forward that to everyone, and we could each independently maybe work on that and get it back to me, and maybe at our...
You'd have to bring it back to a board meeting. Not just you.
Oh, I wouldn't take final action on it. I just meant I'd collect all the comments and then bring them back to our next meeting. Maybe a slight agenda item on the closed session on the 9th.
President Cicina, I want to discourage you from sending out things to the board members and then getting them back in and then coming forward with them. It's sort of a seriatim meeting.
It's one of those Brown Act issues.
So it's one thing to get them to get them something
to
look
at, okay,
and then have them think about it separately,
and then bring it back at our next when we agendize it.
Yes,
I will distribute that. Period. It's getting late. Steve's getting funny. You know, and I think the Water Quality Control Board negotiation team probably needs to be active again, too, because this is going to be a cooperative effort between the county, the water board, and us to make these options happen, especially given the fact that the water board's already weighed in on the county's intent not to request us to pursue extension of the Tri-W permit. So obviously there's some dialogue that needs to happen there, too. Yes?
I wonder if the water board has contacted the... Coastal Commission to see what their how they would be poised. That would be interesting.
Water Resources Advisory Committee. Anything new there?
There's going to be a meeting September 5th. The next meeting, there were some solicitations from the engineer for the county, asking for any recommendations or input regarding the status or priority of projects that were made the final screening. And so I don't think our project needs any plug-in. We only have one project, and that's a wastewater project. I don't see what else we can do. I could touch bases, and if there is anything, that one thing they did mention that I think it's, I don't know if it's really, well, it's not a RAC issue, but you know, we'll be meeting to discuss disposal options pretty soon. I think Joe will touch on that.
The National Estuary Program and the Implementation Committee met today. I was not there, but I got a report from someone who was. And apparently they had great debate about whether or not to take a position on whether the community should vote yes or no on a 218. And this is outside of their normal activity. They don't normally get that involved in local politics, but they encouraged the city of Morro Bay to go tertiary treatment. I know that. So they are becoming more active. And the person that I talked to who was at the meeting said it was so confusing that he never really did get a final tally or decision out of the committee, but that it was implied that the executive committee, who meets we meet next week, would also be addressing this question. So that's the NEP. Ad hoc litigation committee. There's been an ongoing desire, I think, to put a little more focus on the bills and from Shauna Sullivan and just how those are being broken out for us. And what I would like to ask is if Director Sparks would like to take my place on that ad hoc committee, because I'm just running out of time and of trying to keep up with things. And I don't know if you would be interested in doing that or not.
Well, I'm going on vacation at the end of next week, so I don't think I could effectively. I'll take that under consideration, either until August 30.
Okay, that'd be great. You're supposed to time your. You'll be back by the 9th. You said you're leaving on vacation.
Leaving on the 10th, and I'll be back before the last board meeting.
Great, thank you. LOCAC, I don't see anyone, our LOCAC rep here, to give us a report, our usual reporter. Anyone else from LOCAC? Lon, did you have anything that you wanted to bring to us?
The best representation of the last LOCAC meeting would be for the citizens of this town to see it on Channel 20, and to my knowledge, it hasn't yet appeared, but I may be wrong about that. I've been watching for it, haven't seen it. There's definitely information that would be very useful, and you are correct. I'm a member of LOCAC, but I don't have the authority of the chair or vice chair at this time, so that's all I'll say. Thank you.
General manager reorganization and recruitment. We have conducted three interviews with the ad hoc committee, more or less the preliminary interviews, to decide if we wanted to bring those candidates to the board. We did interview one candidate tonight, the full board. We have more interviews scheduled for the 9th, when we're going to do a closed session only next week, so that we can have a few more of these. We have 7 or 8 good viable candidates, and all of them this time seemed like they would meet minimum qualifications. So we're giving it our best shot again, and hope by the end of the month to have that decision made by the board meeting on the 30th. TAC fine screening, water reuse, and disposal analysis.
Yeah, I hate that title. But Director Sennett and I, the ad hoc committee met with Pavel Ogren, again, to discuss disposal options and our purveyor participation in the wastewater project and options, as well as level 3 and level 4 options for vacant land owners. I guess I would like to be able to have the ad hoc committee have some public input at a meeting. Ms. Biggs, I don't know when to schedule that so that we can get public input on the disposal options from the fine screening report. We are discussing those disposal options out of the draft fine screening report with the water purveyors. We are also going to meet, they don't have a date specific yet, with the county next week with the ad hoc committee. Some of the items discussed for seawater mitigation, I expect, pursuant to the adjudication, is that will be shared costs on further modeling, and we may want to include portions of that in the upcoming budget, and either Director Senator or I can forward that to Ms. Hugh. But I would like at some point to schedule some public input into the disposal options so that the public is able to view and get visibility into some of the shared thinking between ourselves and Golden State and S&T and the county.
Okay, on to the consent calendar. Now, are there any items that we want to pull for a separate vote before we move on to public comment? I think that's the way we should do that if we want to pull them now before public comment, if we're going to have a separate vote request.
Or pull. Ms. Biggs, is the protocol we pull now for separate discussion and then pull for separate vote at the end?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay, excuse me. We have items to be pulled for separate discussion. Okay, good. Then we'll move on to public comment on the consent calendar.
Hi, Bob Cooper. If you guys do get to talk to the Water Board again as part of your negotiating team, I'm really concerned about the way they're blackmailing us in relation to the Prop 218 vote. The Election Code, Section 18540A, says every person who makes use of or threatens to make use of any force, violence, or tactics of coercion or intimidation, to vote or refrain from voting for any particular measure at any election is guilty of a felony. Okay. Why does the board say at the main meeting, this is the Regional Water Board, at that May 10th meeting, Harvey Packer, the enforcement officer, said, how many times shall we say one more chance, talking about the project? He says, this is the one more chance. The county project, as it's going on, the county's process is that one more chance. Then Harvey Packard says to Daniel Press, who's a board member, it would be a pretty difficult job to convince us that the project is moving forward if the benefits assessment is not approved. Okay, this I consider blackmail. This is where you can stand up and talk to them and say, hey, you guys can't talk like that. You guys can't intimidate. You guys can't enforce a vote. It's coercion. It's threat. It's illegal. We'll bust your butts, put you in jail. It's not right. So I ask you to, next time you talk to the board, may want to mention that. Thank you.
Oh, should I start talking? Oh, okay. I was waiting for the green light. Lacey Cooper, I want to dovetail on what Bo said, and this is for the county. Several people brought up tonight that they were feeling fear and trepidation about voting because it is going to be public. And Director Tackard said that someone a year and a half later had made her vote public. And I was looking through, I wanted to bring this to the board's attention. I was looking through explanation, a really good explanation, the municipal counties or something about 218. And they said that one of the choices of the Board of Supervisors, the lead agency, they could draft a resolution and have the ballots remain private. That's one of their, I have it in writing, and it's one of their options. And I didn't know if I should direct it to you to ask your counsel, your legal counsel, to look into that and then request the Board of Supervisors to do that, because I think that would be just a wonderful thing. And I have the document that says, you know, that's one of the choices that you can do under Prop 218. So I thought that was really great, and I might bring it up to the board. But I thought it'd be great coming from the board and to see if and trusting the county to see if they'll give us that one thing. Thank you,
President Cicina. On that note,
yes.
Because of the comments this evening, I've asked our office to take a look at this issue because ordinarily, I know that apparently these have been made public in the past, but ordinarily, election materials are confidential. They are not subject to public review unless there's an election challenge of some sort. But I would certainly appreciate whatever you've turned up on that, because there should be a way to protect that. It is still America.
Oh, it's outrageous to think that your vote in any matter would be made public, could be made public.
Yeah. But we will be taking a look at that.
Should I send that to a director?
You can give it to me and I'll pass it on.
Okay.
Do you have it electronically?
I have it both. I have it electronically, though,
okay.
So you can.
You just email it to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gwen Taylor,
to follow up on what Lacey said, I concur 100%. And having stood at the Board of Supervisors and have Pavel Ogren say, yes, that anybody can look at anything regarding the vote on the 218 is very disturbing. And to have your vote, whether it is yay or nay, even for the Water Board, which is a governmental agency, to have the ability to see your vote is wrong. It is not the democratic process. No, yes, that is your determination and your determination only. Thank you.
Hello, Alon Perlman. I am a member of LOCAC, and I just wanted to add a little to the update. I do understand that there were audio difficulties that are being worked on currently for the last LOCAC meeting. The motions that passed will eventually appear in print on the website locac.us, locac.us. It may be interesting in contact. I don't want to go into the contact, but one of them relates to the future of low-income housing. I'm proud to be a part of a team that communicated clearly certain concerns to the county. Additionally, LOCAC has a need for nominations to District 3 to replace LOCAC member Fred Delegata, who is a member of Land Use, and also as regards Land Use Committee, it's a very a key committee, could use more public members showing up and potentially applying for membership in that committee. I'd like to talk about fire abatement versus ESHA destruction. I think it'd be great if the CSD could come up with a resolution, and this has to do with one case where fire clearing was done on a weekend or a holiday when the staff was fire station staff was not fully present to be able to observe. So possibly a resolution on not allowing clearing of brush outside the staffing hours unless previously cleared with the fire department. So this should not prevent any clearing, but it would make sure that there was not a repeat of the last situation. And I suggest possibly that the environmental committee be directed or may on its own review and coordinate with the fire department committee. As far as the water board is concerned, they're a scorpion. They can only hit what's in front of them. Some external agency will need to intervene, possibly take a pair of pinches and turn them around. I don't believe at any point compromise between this CSD board and the water board was really possible. No CSD consensus action. But the CSD is free to advocate to other agencies and explain these situations clearly because there's other information out there. And I would like to know the executive committee of the environmental element in the MBNEP, is that open to the public? Executive committees usually aren't. Okay.
I have not seen any members of the public there, but I'll make a point to find out.
Oh, thank you very much.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. As you know, I've been doing a lot of review of several years of meetings, both the CSD, the regional board, and the county and other bodies, just so I can have material for my next few videos that will be appearing on public access. And the county has set this fast-paced timeline, not really on cost, that's not what they said, but on the enforcement actions on individuals and how that's paramount to take care of the individuals. And that the, I think the individuals have done pretty good so far. I think they picked on 45 and we've held them at bay for how many, how long? Longer than the Alamo. And those enforcement actions are in abeyance while they go through the adjudicative process all the way up to a real court of law. and therefore I don't think the county needs to really worry about that. They're not really anyhow. I think they were just being the mouthpiece of the regional board and using it as an excuse. Also, too, in, I look here at this grants committee. Is there really a grants committee? Because I don't see any real action on it. And I was just going to make a statement that in my review of videos of the county, they had made a statement that I think it was Noking. We're really looking for the CSD and getting together with the grants committee to try to get funding for this sewer project. And that was very laughable because we all knew at that time there was no way anybody from the CSD was going to get a grant from the state. And so I could just say there's a lot of laughable stuff if it wasn't so serious. And if you didn't laugh, you'd have to cry. So just be very aware that the county has been speaking out of both sides of their mouth. It's like very two-faced. And with your liaison with the county and the regional board, understand they may be two opposite sides of the same coin on a lot of issues. Be very aware. Thank you.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. As far as the regional board goes and my 218, if I were to vote tonight, I would vote no on 218. And if the regional water board wants, they can see my vote. I'm not afraid. I'm not the regional board doesn't scare me. I pray for the day that we get them in a real court of law, not the kangaroo court that's been held over there on Aero Vista, so we can completely discredit and they will be discredited and humiliated in a real court of law for the unethical and the wrongful actions that they have perpetrated on this community. As far as I'm not sure how the programming of AGP goes, and I understand that there was problems with the tape of the LOCAC thing, but if somebody like Pat Renshaw is going to dedicate her night to volunteer to tape the meeting, you know, you could show the meetings. Seems like there's a lot of downtime on Channel 22, and there's enough meetings going on that are very important that, you could run those on a loop. My last comment loosely relates to environmental. It's just a conservation tip. I noticed after the last 6 to 8 weeks, the gas mileage on my car dropped off quite a bit. My car is 4 years old. One thing I realized is that the air filter had never been changed, so I changed that. The other thing I noticed was the air pressure in my tires was about 30% low. The air filter cost $12. The air for my tire cost 50 cents. Now I'm getting better gas mileage than I ever remember, 20 to 30 miles more per tank. I was reminded of this conservation tip a few weeks ago listening to the Live Earth concert. I have to admit, they didn't play my favorite music. I guess Gustav Mahler, Jimi Hendrix, Miles Davis, and Led Zeppelin were unavailable to perform. This leads me to my next conservation tip. If you want to have some fun, turn off all the lights in your house and crank up the Mahler. Or any classical music or jazz, for that matter. Listening to classical music or jazz in a sensory deprivation chamber can be quite the meditative experience. One thing I liked about this concert is they weren't asking people for money. They were asking people to save money and in turn save energy. I found this to be unique and refreshing. Throughout the day, between the music, they offered the simplest of conservation tips. People think, well, I hassle with inflating the tires in my car and save a few dollars. What's that going to do? But if we can get everybody in Los Osos just to do one little thing, everybody in the county to do one little thing, if we can get a million people to do one little thing, it's no longer a little thing. Anymore, it's a big thing. So just everybody try and do their one little thing to save energy. Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Just one quick note on that voting on the 218. I think if the no vote happens, I think the water board will be fair to all of us. Every single one of us will get the same treatment. I don't think they're going to look at your name and give you some specially awful treatment. I think the only thing that might be tough about it is if you need to sell your home or you want to sell your home, if you have one of those things against your property, I think you might be in trouble. The other thing I wanted to talk about I missed the last Finance Committee meeting, and at some prior Finance Committee meeting, the economic pluses of hiring a law firm to be general counsel to keep them on a retainer rather than an hourly basis was discussed, and the way it was done with John Seitz. I think they said it was about $10,000 a month. I just don't know what happened in between that discussion, if it ever got to the board. It was in the committee. Did it get to the board? And can you give us reasons why you're going on an hourly basis rather than a retainer? Thanks.
Good evening again. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. On that expecting the water board to treat everybody fairly, I would like to remind everybody that there were 51 people chosen to have proposed CDOs. Out of that group, about 20-some have agreed to accept a cleanup and abatement, which then allows the water board to fine them any amount they decide to, and the only thing they can contest is the amount of the fine, because they've already said, oh, we agree to clean up an abatement. If you get a clean up and abatement hung on you without agreeing to have it, you can then fight the clean up and abatement with the fact that there's no proof there's anything to clean up. In fact, we have proof by the Black and Veatch study that we are diluting the nitrates in the groundwater with our effluent if we have over 6 foot of unsaturated soil underneath our leach field. So when it comes down to whether the water board's going to nail somebody because they voted a no, I told them at Watsonville I was going to do everything I could to get a no vote if Tri-W or Montgomery Watson was on the table. And that's exactly what I intend to do. So as far as being treated unfairly, what more can they do to me? Put me in jail? Take a house away? I think if it comes to a point of putting a lien on people's houses, that'll be about the time we'll get the attorney involved, and you can spend a little money on an attorney or you can lose your house. The fact is that we are being oppressed. All of this action by the government agencies since the recall signatures were certified has been to oppress us, and the degree of oppression is directly proportional to the amount of what you'll put up with. Anyway, the fact is we've got to quit putting up with oppression. We've got to fight it, and the only way we can fight it is with good attorneys, and we've got a good attorney working with us right now, a resident of this community. She's very familiar with everything, and we do need money to pay her. So come buy a ticket for the drive-by, pick up your chicken. It's a takeout chicken dinner for $10, and that's it. Have a good evening. Thank you. Bye.
Good evening, everyone. Bob Lloyd. Excuse me. Bob Lloyd, AGP Video. I thought I'd address the issue of the LOCAC meeting not going on in the air. We did have, when we got the tapes from Pat Renshaw, we had no audio on those tapes. The toughest thing about video is audio. So we are working on a solution to that problem. I understand we have a new copy. Yeah, we could do signing. But it just doesn't have the impact that it used to. But we are working on a second version of that, and Pat has worked on that. We contribute a lot of things to that taping of that meeting and making sure that it gets on the air. We've donated equipment. We've donated time in duplication and recreation and channel management time. As far as the channel goes itself, we try to, or I try to, because since I program it, try to put the meetings on as often as I can. And as far as what meeting takes priority and takes precedence, it's kind of the last meeting aired. It has got the most time on the process. So, there are so many hours in the day, and people are familiar with the 1 a.m., 9 a.m., and 6 p.m. that we normally run meetings on, and I try not to vary too far away from that process and still fit as many meetings as I can within the hours of a day to get that on there. So the current programming that I'm doing on the channel is changing of the channel at least a minimum once a week, if not twice a week, considering how many meetings we have going on the channel. So if there are other recommendations, we'd be happy to hear them and willing to work with the community as far as getting more of these tapes on the channel. But I assure you we're doing our best to make sure the channel is operational and working, and it's working in within good quality. So we don't like putting on tapes that we're going to get calls at that we can't hear or can't see or so on. The TAC meetings, oh, Jesus, scares the heck out of me every time I hear that thing, even when I'm sitting over there. The TAC meetings, David Dugan was kind enough to, because we are not contracted, to record those special meetings at the government center for some reason. So Dave Dugan has done those done that. But we received a lot of complaints that they couldn't see who was talking. The audio was in question. People had to crank up their televisions. But Dave Dugan has done an outstanding job in trying to get those things, you know, taped. And we, of course, tried to do our best to make that possible and get that on. So if there's any more information that the community needs, our office number is 772-2715. Thank you so much.
Gwen Taylor, I'll make a follow-up on what was just said by our previous speaker. And yes, Mr. Dugan does an excellent job, even when you're sitting in the audience trying to get some of the speakers to enunciate, project is practically an impossibility, including not only government persons, but people who are sitting on the TAC. So it's not his fault. It's their fault. They are not projecting. They are not speaking into the mics. So he does a good job, and he tries. That's the point. He tries.
Any additional public comment on the consent calendar or administrative reports? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board, and I'll entertain a motion.
First, I'd like to pull item 5 for separate vote.
Okay, we can do that.
You want to take that one first? Just get out of the way.
Okay. Then let's have a roll call vote on item 5, please.
We need a motion and a second.
I move we approve item 5 as a...
No, a second.
I'll third it.
There's your roll call.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Sparks?
No.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sestina?
Yes. Okay, I move that we adopt the remaining consent calendar items. That would be 4, 6, and 7.
I'll second it.
If you accept the committee reports, I'll vote for it as part of that motion.
And the committee reports. Do you second the amended
second
motion?
As well.
Thank you.
I do need a roll call on that because we have a resolution. That's me again. Director Sennett?
Yes.
It's really late. Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Sparks?
Yes.
President Sestina?
Yes. Okay, our next meeting here will be on the 30th of August. We'll have a closed session next week, but it will be for interviewing GM candidates only. Unless we add agenda items, I guess, but that's the primary purpose. It'd just be a closed session. So we'll be back here on the 30th and...
special on Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors.
Special meeting Tuesday, Board of Supervisors. Many of us will be there to talk about the Tri-W permit issue and anything else, Los Osos. So any closing comments from board members tonight?
But I don't want to be- be first this time.
Oh, okay. Just a couple comments. Again, I appreciate the work that the county is doing, and this is a, I feel it's a good process. I've always felt the county was the proper agency to do this project. We heard something about design build, but there are advantages design bid build as well, multiple bidding on the design portion of it when the 218 passes, and then multiple bidding on construction contracts. And I don't think this community should underestimate the value in this process of when we get to those points in terms of affordability and saving dollars, is that we have an environment in this community that's conducive to competitive bidding. You've seen in other communities where on similar construction projects that you get bids varying 50% or more. And for our community, where the dollars are important, that is going to translate into millions of dollars. There was a comment by Mr. Jones about being elected based on popular opinion. And yes, we're all elected based on a popular vote, but we are elected not necessarily to make our decisions based on popular opinion. We're elected to make decisions based on our best judgment, which may not be popular. And so that's something that we all bear. And we value public opinion, but in the end, we have to make our choices based on what we feel is best for the taxpayers and for the community.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Sparks. There were some comments from the public tonight. Someone asking for my resignation from this board because of comments made by another person in a public forum. And yes, as a matter of fact, I am a contract employee on some of the work that that individual does. But I think my biggest job, after being a mommy and a wife for the last 25 years, was serving this and has been serving this community. And some of the things I say are not popular, and some of the things actually are popular that I say. But I think something that was said out of context was that keeping my opinions to myself has not been my strong suit, and that's why I was elected, is because I spoke up. I spoke up when I saw a community headed for a crisis, and I spoke up very early, very loud, and very clear that I thought we needed to move our sewer. And in the 6 years since I recognized that, I think I taught the community a lot from what I learned through the documents and through following the actions of the district. I don't know if I'll run again in November of 2008, and I encourage anybody who wants to challenge any, two seats are up in 2008, so, you know, you can run if you don't like what you see. That's what I did. But sitting here, and I want to be brief because I was longer earlier, but just reflecting on the last year and how the project is no longer that of the district, I oppose that. I, along with Frank Acilio, drove to Sacramento and back in one day to speak before the assembly to oppose AB 2701, and we were certainly not going to stop it, but we were able to amend it. And we were able to amend it, giving the county the ability to go outside the prohibition zone to find solutions for the wastewater project. And I think that's a valid amendment. And we do have to look outside the prohibition zone because the water problems are basin-wide. Like I said, I spoke in opposition to AB 2701. I sat in this very seat and voted against the district board's support, then support of the bill. And I still don't like AB 2701, and it's caused havoc in its ambiguity. Last fall, I drove myself, all by myself, down and back to San Pedro to speak before the Coastal Commission to ask for their support for AB 2701 if and only if, and they gave it unanimously, if and only if the benefits were realized by the entire basin. Sam Blakeslee chose not to take that support. He didn't think he needed it. He obviously didn't. He got his bill passed. But I have relationships with commissioners. Those relationships have been built over the course of my activism. And yes, on July 12th, I was fortunate enough to be able to go on a boat in the bay and out to sea and see whales with coastal commissioners that I hope I never need to approach again because of the Tri-W project. I hope the Tri-W project is never before them again. But over the course of my service to this community as an activist and now as a board member, I have made relationships that they recognize my face, they know my name, they know my position, and they know that what I did in my work to expose the ills of the Tri-W project were for the good of the community and for the good of the coast. And I have no regrets, and I will continue to serve as long as the public will have me.
I just want to say good night.
Excuse me, before you close, we have a small clarification for the meeting of August 30th. That will be what is called an adjourned regular meeting. You are not actually having a regular meeting the first week in September, and your second meeting in September is a special meeting. So this will be, instead of the September regular meeting, you are actually adjourning tonight's meeting to August 30th as an adjourned regular meeting. So just to clarify that.
Thank you. Obviously, this is going to be a critical month. I would like to say that I have seen I've seen progress in working with the county. Noel King did say in the beginning, obviously, it's going to be gravity. And effluent collection has survived the fine screening. And I don't think that that's just a bone they're throwing us. I think some good hard work by the community has resulted in that. And I'd also like to thank groups like Surf Rider, Slow Green Build, and the Sierra Club for coming out with position statements about things that they want to see. And they specifically talk about pressurized collection systems in high groundwater areas. I mean, those are in the statements from those groups, and I think they're going to make a difference this time. I really do. There are so many eyes on this now because of the past failure. I just don't see a CEQA process being abused again that way. And I guess it wasn't really the process that was abused. It was just the actual document itself. Regardless, I want to repeat what I said last meeting. Let's be kind to each other. Let's accept differences of opinion. We have to be able to talk and work this through. I like what I'm seeing, and the real test will be this next month if we see some real avenues for the options like private financing brought to the table that we can depend on being on the table. And I'll bring a bottle of champagne to my house on the night of the 11th of August because I think that'll be worth celebrating. Thank you and good night.